Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Hacks Podcast. I am your host, Bruce Gunther. I'm trying not to throw up a lung here while we're recording. Joining me tonight is Devin Davidson. Welcome, Devin.
Hey, Bruce. How you doing?
Oh, apparently I'm attempting to cough up a lung as the show is starting, so it's great.
And as you're coughing up a lung, my video is flickering as well. So we got gremlins very early in the episode.
Hopefully you can edit the cough out.
That's no problem. The flickering, I mean, we won't be using the video anyway, so that's okay.
No, that's all right. So tonight we are using, oh boy, we're starting this off real great. Tonight is episode 144, NHL Fantasy Preview for week 9. Tyler was going to join us. He even requested this time, and he's still late.
You know what? He may be grabbing some food. If he had hockey, I'd almost guarantee he's grabbing supper.
Oh, that's probably it. You're right.
Yeah. He'll stumble in around 9:20, and we'll be finishing up.
There you go. All right, well, let's jump into it. We'll start the evening off with John's List. If you're a regular listener of the podcast, you'll undoubtedly be familiar with John's List, John's shit list of players, past and present. We throw in the occasional commissioner, GM, coach, or newsworthy topic, or host from around the hockey world. Devin, who is our special guest tonight?
Well, as you had mentioned earlier off air, we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel with this one, but we're going to go with Ross Colton right now, who is on a real heater in terms of dumb moves per 60, having been fined another $5,000 for what they're calling a dangerous trip on Leo Carlson. I watched the clip. I mean, of course, you're watching it in slow-mo and all these other sorts of things, but it just didn't look good optically. Not a great play, I thought. So $5,000 seems like a fair punishment to me. This is the second time he's been fined. The other one, of course, was the cross check to the face of Timo Meier.
That one probably hurt.
Yeah, so I guess he makes the list this week, unless you want to throw John on the list for being sick, but I can't really fault a guy for that. So
no, it's pretty hard to do that. Yeah. I guess you look on the flip side, Leo Carlson will just need more load management to recover from that. So
I'm sure.
We should add load management on the list of shit lists too.
I agree. Let's throw Ducks management on the list too, because I think that's ridiculous.
Freaking crazy.
Yeah.
I know the NBA players do it because they need it. Yeah, whatever. But
I've never been a fan of it. I think the load management is garbage. I get the goaltenders need to play fewer games, I guess.
Well, that's like goaltending. That's why you have two goaltenders, right? Yeah. So it's, yeah. I understand that. But you got these NBA players that make 7-8-figure salaries. Oh, I need to rest tonight. I'm like, you're getting paid $35 million to play freaking basketball. Yeah. Show up.
Imagine being a fan, right? You've paid your $100 a ticket or $200 a ticket, whatever it is, to go to a game to watch LeBron James or whoever you want to watch, and they're not there because of load management. They're sitting there healthy on the bench. That would drive me insane.
Yeah. The NBA actually had to put a rule in so that if the game was being broadcasted on television, they couldn't rest their star players or all of their star players.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then you look at someone like Kobe Bryant, who pretty much killed himself to play every game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he refused to come out ever.
And I respect that way more.
Yeah, like, the clip I remember so very well of him is, I don't know what happened. So he jammed his finger. They show the video of him going halfway down the tunnel, the doctor resetting his finger.
Nice.
And then he went back in. Like, most guys would have taken a couple weeks off. He took all of 5 seconds to compose himself and went back out.
So what you're saying, Bruce, is he could have been a basketball player. Or, sorry, a hockey player.
Yeah, well. How many hockey players play with a freaking broken tibia for 30 seconds, and you watch these basketball players get carried off because they cramp up? It's like,
I know.
Like, maybe we should add basketball players onto the list too while we're at it.
Why not? Except Kobe. Kobe's not making the list. Or Michael Jordan.
No, I earlier in my life, I was not a fan of Kobe Bryant at all. Not a fan. But since he has passed away, but I read his book and stuff like that, I have a whole new understanding for the way his mind works and like how very, very smart he was. Like, it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Speaking of amazing, Bruce.
Yes. Our fantasy lock of the week. We have a familiar favorite back as a lock, Mr. Connor McDavid. He's obviously registered at 100% basically everywhere. He had 9 points last week, 2 goals, 7 assists in 3 games played, 3 points on the power play. He averaged just over 21 minutes a night, averaging just under 3.5 minutes on the power play. He's quickly climbing back into the scoring race here. He is currently 12th with 29 points. He is only 11 back of the leader, which I forgot to write down who that was. Anyway, they won't be for the leader for very long. The way McDavid has been putting up points here lately. It's
definitely not.
That's what, 18 in 6 games. So he's coming for the title, boys. Watch out.
Finally.
Yes, finally. Oilers seem to have found their groove, so that's fantastic. Honorable mention this week goes to Matthew Barzal of the Islanders. He put up 7 points, 2 goals, and 5 assists in 2 games last week. I had to double check that because, one, because it was an Islanders, and two, that they actually scored that many goals. But yes, he had seven points in 2 games last week. So that's good for Mr. Barzal. Next, we move on.
Sorry, Bruce. FYI, yeah. Nikita Kucherov is your NHL points leader right now with 40 points.
40? Okay. Yeah, so he's only, 11 back? So it won't take Connor long to make that up.
A couple games,
yeah. Maybe give him 3 just for shits and giggles.
Just 4 to be generous.
4 to be generous. By the end of next week, he'll be the leader. It's just
there you go.
The way it'll be. So, all right. Let's move on to Edgework here. NHL schedule for week 9. The segment where we put in the work to give you the edge in your fantasy hockey leagues. Each week, the Hacks will cover the NHL schedule, waiver wire targets to guide you to victory. So we are now in week 9. Week 9 has a slightly different format than usual. 2 full days and 5 light days. So light days are described as 50% or fewer teams in action. There are 2 nights this week where exactly 50% of the teams are playing. There's a total of 54 games here on the schedule this week, with Thursday having 13, Saturday having 12 being the full days on the schedule. The remaining light days of the week feature 8 or fewer games. So optimizing for games played will be a bit of a challenge here this week as well. In terms of attempting to optimize that schedule, there is a total of 14 teams. I'm not going to list them all off. Next week, they do provide an advantage with 4 games played. Of those 4 teams, there are 2 teams, Minnesota and St. Louis, that play 3 of their 4 games on off nights. Those are easy ones to list off. So Boston and Toronto will be the teams to fade this week, as they are the 2 teams that only play 2 games this week. So if you have the Boston Bruins goalie tandem like me, you're going to be looking for an extra goalie this week. So just a quick recap. 6 games on Monday, 8 games Tuesday, 4 games on Wednesday, 13 games on Thursday, 3 games Friday, 12 games Saturday, and an 8-game slate on Sunday. So in the notes here, we've got the list of all the teams. 4 games, 3 games, 2 games. There's no teams this week to play 1 game. So they're all listed in the show notes. You guys can take a look in there. I'm not going to read them all out.
No, that'll be up later tonight, Bruce.
Yeah, so check that out. Next, we will move on to, holy cow, we are blazing through this. We are going to move on to our waiver wire targets for week 9. With our waiver wire targets, we focus on players that are rostered in 50% or less Yahoo Fantrax leagues. When considering players to target, we review recent performance, player development, upcoming schedule, and more. So to start off our list of forwards, I believe, Devin, you've picked this guy up already. So you want to start us off?
Well, in typical fashion, Bruce, you know what these players, if I'm talking about them on the show, chances are I've picked up at least 1 or 2. Jake Neighbors, yeah, I picked him up this week. Left wing eligible for the St. Louis Blues, 9% rostered in Yahoo, 31% in Fantrax. I know in a lot of keeper and dynasty formats, this guy is obviously taken, has a lot of upside potential, but four games on the schedule, Vegas twice, but then Columbus and Chicago on the back half of the week, which should be productive there. He's playing on the top line with Pavel Buchnevich and Robert Thomas, as well as on the top power play unit. So lots of potential here, and he's been productive. So the 21-year-old's got 8 points, seven goals in his last seven games played. Massive minutes on the power play and at even strength over his last four contests. He's topped 20 minutes in two of his most recent games. Excellent production, like I had mentioned, but also notable category coverage with shots, hits, and blocks. Makes him a must-roster player with an upcoming four-game schedule in Week 9, sort of a slam dunk. So go out and grab Jake Neighbors, and probably could be a season-long hold as well.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Well, he's gone in our one league. I'm pretty sure he's long gone in the other one, too. So,
yeah.
I don't have to go look, so that's just fine. This next guy might still be there, but we'll check later. Michael Bunting, he's rostered 30 of Carolina. He is rostered 32% in Yahoo, 43% in Fantrax. Carolina is another team that plays four games this week. They are on the road in Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. That lovely West Coast swing. He's on the first line with Sebastian Aho and Seth Jarvis. He's also spending some time on power play too. So Bunting is on pace for 59 points to date this season, and is seeing considerable time on the first line with Aho and Jarvis. Along with time on the second power play unit, he's got 6 points, two goals in his last five games played. It's not too bad. Caroline's doing a little bit better. Goaltending is surprisingly leaving a little something to be desired here in the last couple of weeks.
Quite a bit, I'd say, so, yeah.
God, they was that Tampa that lit up Ranta for eight?
Yeah, was it 8-1?
Something like that. It was ugly.
And actually, I just read again this morning, Tony DeAngelo has now been healthy scratched for six straight games.
Yikes. That experiment didn't go well.
No, not at all.
Did not go well at all. Ooh. All right. You want to talk to our next guy here?
Yeah, JT Compher. You know, honestly, it's just really sad what's transpired in Detroit. To feel awful for Dylan Larkin and his family.
Yeah.
So our condolences go out to him and his wife. But, you know, obviously just given what's happened there, JT Compher is going to have to try and fill in those shoes as best he can. And he's done an admirable job to this point. Left wing, right wing eligible for Detroit, 33% rostered in Yahoo, 41% in Fantrax. Three games on the schedule, but he is playing on that top line with DeBrincat and with Lucas Raymond, and on the power play, or the top power play. Big minutes for him, piling up points, 19 points in 23 games. He's on pace for a career best 68 points. Shot volume at 1.1 shots on goal per game, and his individual shooting percentage at 23.1% are obviously big concerns. But right now, while he's putting up points and he's getting that prime deployment, he's probably worth a look in most formats.
Oh, most definitely. And then, too, they will get, and then they're going to get Patrick Kane here at some point down the road, too. He's going to join the team once he's acclimated in.
Yeah, they said 7 to 10 days. So I would say, like, that was what, earlier last week. I remember the exact day, but we're probably looking at some point like mid next week, right?
That's not too bad at all.
So, I mean, playing with DeBrincat and Kane and Comp from the middle.
Just sit there and just pass.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just dish some pucks. It'll be nice.
Yep.
Next guy on the list here is Kirill Marchenko, Columbus Blue Jackets. He is rostered 25% in Yahoo, 56% in Fantrax. Columbus has got four games this week. They are at home to LA, on the road to the Islanders, and then back at home to St. Louis and Florida. He is currently on line one with Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau. He's also got a spot on power play one. That is very nice. Marchenko's stock continues to rise here as he has been given prime deployment on the top line alongside Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau, as well as the top power play for the Columbus. Friday night against the Senators saw a sharp drop in ice time to, holy crap, only 11:19 and no power play time. But before that, he had averaged 18:43 and a 66% power play share. Came out to 3.13 power play time on ice, 4 points with three goals and six games played. Assuming he maintains that top level deployment, Marchenko could be a season long addition, and is particularly helpful for this upcoming week with four games on the docket.
I still like Marchenko moving forward here, but he does have 0 points in his last three games. So I just wanted to update that in terms of the most recent information we have available to us. He had 3 shots on goal in his last game, 2 before that, and he did get back to about 50% power play share against Boston today. So, okay, you know, not all hope is lost. He played 60 minutes tonight versus, you know, the 11 that we just talked about. So I wouldn't sound the alarm just yet, but.
Well, in Columbus, you have a bad shift. He sits you for a period, so that could be why your ice time drops. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just be warned, but I do think there's some potential there for sure.
Oh, especially if he stays where he is, right? If he stays on the top line, he still gets power play one. That's.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know you like the next guy here, so we'll let you talk about him.
Well, yeah, we're going to sound like a broken record here, but because was it last week or the week before we talked about Mercer? It was just recently.
I think
but,
so. Very recently.
That's fine. You know what? I just wanted to mention him again. Center right wing eligible. And part of this, too, is just that the window to grab this guy is probably going to start closing here if mm-hmm. he continues producing the way he has. 34% rostered in Yahoo, 64% in Fantrax. Again, 4 games on the schedule with Vancouver, Seattle, Calgary, and Edmonton. He's playing with Jack Hughes and Tyler Toffoli, and that alone should pique your interest. And then he's playing on the second power play unit. So he's got 9 points, 5 goals in his last 10 games played, 6 points in his last 4 games. And really, so the other things I'd mentioned there just make that guy worth adding, at least for this week and potentially beyond if he continues producing.
Yeah, they got their West Coast swing going, so they're... Let's see what. So Vancouver, Seattle, Calgary, and Edmonton. So Seattle and Calgary could have some fun there. Edmonton and Vancouver would be a little tougher matchups for them. But they probably should find a goaltender before they start on that swing, because holy crap, has Vanacek and Schmid been terrible so far this year.
Yeah, it's been rough. And then losing Hamilton is a big blow too. So it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we'll get into that here. For sure.
Let's see here. So that was it for forwards for this week. We're going to move on to defensemen now. So start off our defenseman, someone who I keep adding and rostering
this
year
was
over
your guy.
Year. I just go back to the well, and I guess some weeks are good, some weeks are bad, most weeks are bad. But anyway, first defenseman is Torey Krug, St. Louis Blues. Rostered 28% in Yahoo, 53% in Fantrax. They have got 4 games this week. They are on the road to Vegas, then they're home to Vegas, and then back on the road for Columbus and Chicago. He's currently on the second pair with Justin Falk. Overall, it has been a career-low season for Torey Krug offensively. However, the 13-year NHL vet has rebounded lately with 4 points in his last 4 games. Playing 21.5 minutes time on ice, he's got a 64-point pace. Wouldn't that be nice? 64% power play share. Too many acronyms. Krug provides roughly a block and a half per game as well. But we probably shouldn't be relied too much more for category coverage beyond basic points. You know, he doesn't do much beyond that, which obviously limits his upsize. As was previously mentioned, Jake Neighbors, Krug benefits from a 4-game schedule with 3 of those games taking place in off nights. Well, I really hacked the hell out of that, didn't I?
You got it out there. It's all good.
Got it out there. We'll let you talk about the next guy who's our, I would say, is probably in the short term, at least a Dougie Hamilton replacement, if not maybe a little more, depending on how Hamilton's long. I'll let you talk about our next guy.
Yeah, Simon Nemec, or Nemitz, however you pronounce it. I've heard different pronunciations. But anyway, Simon Nemec, 10% rostered in Yahoo, 46% rostered in Fantrax. He's got 4 games on the schedule, obviously, as we talked about. Dawson Mercer. He's playing on the top pairing, actually, with Jonas Siegenthaler. And he made his NHL debut on Friday against San Jose, posted 2 assists, and led all Devils defensemen in ice time at 22:38. He's got some nice category coverage. He had 3 shots on goal, 1 power play assist, and 1 hit. And as I just mentioned, Dougie Hamilton is out long-term with a pectoral tear. And I mentioned to you the night, Bruce, like when that happened to Matt Dumba, he was done for the year, and then he really wasn't the same. I mean, maybe ever again.
Yeah, that's all your arms and everything, right? That can mess up everything.
So we'll see. I'm not saying Dougie Hamilton's done, but it's a significant injury. which means that Nemec and Luke Hughes are going to get significant time to show their stuff at even strength than on the power play.
Yeah. And it's not like they eased him in. They dropped him right into the deep end. But I guess if you're going to do it, I guess San Jose would be the team to do it to.
Yeah. I mean, test it out, see what happens, right? But so he's a youngster. He's going to have some struggles, no question. But I would have some interest in him. And for someone like you, Bruce, if you're looking for a D-man to bolster your lineup, you could do worse.
Yeah, definitely. You could get Torey Krug.
Well, or you could go on to our next guy.
Yes, next guy here is Noah Hanifin of the Calgary Flames. Currently rostered 37% in Yahoo, 61% in Fantrax. 3 games this week at home versus Minnesota, Carolina, and New Jersey. That doesn't bode well for Calgary. Playing on the second pairing with Chris Tanev. How about what Tanev did the other night, eh?
What did Tanev do?
Blocked a shot with his face.
Oh, I did hear about that. I didn't see the play.
I was watching the game when he did it, and holy crap, he ended up with a few stitches. It looked like it made a mess of his face, but he just got a few stitches. That was it. It did not look good, but the thing is, usually when you dive in front of a shot, it's feet first. He went face first and took it right off the noodle.
He sure did. Wouldn't you, okay. I mean, maybe that's why I'm not a defenseman in the NHL. I'm not willing to use my face to block a puck. But, I mean, let your goalie stop it, man. What are you doing?
Exactly, right? I'm just going to use my face because, you know, I haven't used it lately. I'm just going to block a shot with it.
Love the effort from Chris Tanev, but not the way I would have gone personally.
Well, makes two of us. Well, I can't even skate, so it takes me right out of the picture. So,
oh boy.
Back to Mr. Hanifin. He has 5 points, 3 goals in his last 8 games played. Not great numbers, but he's recently been seeing time on the first power play unit and is playing some big minutes for the Flames. Against the Stars on Thursday, Hanifin played 25-24 and 3-15 on the power play. That was an 81.3% share with a goal on 5 shots, 14 shot attempts, and 6 individual scoring chances. So that explains why Rasmus Anderson, who I do roster, is not doing a damn thing at the moment.
That would explain that, yeah, for sure.
That would explain it.
Hanifin's been providing some great category coverage, too. He played 5 minutes on the power play last night, Bruce, against Vancouver.
And yeah, I don't know what's going on. Well, it's Calgary, I guess. They're still broken.
And just under 28 minutes of time on ice for Hanifin. So that's another player that the window's probably closing on him, and he could be a valuable pickup here moving forward. But, I mean, realistically, is Rasmus Anderson any of a better option than Noah Hanifin to run your power play?
I don't know. I kind of thought that was the way it would go this year, but they've been such a train wreck of a team this year. They're probably just throwing whatever against the wall and seeing what sticks at this point.
Well, maybe they think there's a better chance Hanifin stays if he gets to run the power play.
Maybe. That's it. Outside Connor Zary, there's not much to like about Calgary at this point.
I mean, it's that or they're building up his trade value so they can just flip him at the deadline.
That could be very possible. They did trade Zadorov here to Winnipeg, or to Winnipeg to Vancouver.
Yeah.
So they have no trouble trading in division, that's for sure.
Which I hate, Bruce. I hate that Vancouver got better, that they actually added to their lineup. Because their defense is massive now.
Yeah, but their defense is injured too. But yeah, I agree. I don't want to see Vancouver getting better, not when you're an Oilers fan. So
no.
All right, that is it for defensemen. Let's move on to goaltenders. And I'm going to let you go first, Evan, because I cannot pronounce this guy's name to save my life.
I got you, Bruce. I'll take a shot at it. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, or UPL as most people like to call him, 39% rostered in Yahoo, 60% in Fantrax. 3 games on the schedule this week against Detroit, Boston, Montreal. He's now the unencumbered starter for the Buffalo Sabres, with Devin Levi being sent to the AHL and Eric Comrie very promptly laying an egg when he got thrown in goal. I say that, but UPL also absolutely shit the bed as soon as Levi was sent down, and they basically said, here's the reins, kid, go for it. And he was awful. I think he gave up 6 against St. Louis. So not ideal. That was the first time all season, though, he's given up 6 goals. In six previous appearances, though, he had posted a 3-1-1 record with a 2.04 goals against and a .933 save percentage. So this guy owns the net in Buffalo, and as they continue to get healthy, like Tage Thompson's not playing right now, right? So as he comes back, yeah, and as they start to figure it out, I think this is the guy to own season long, and he's still available in 60% of Yahoo leagues.
I guess where I'm going after we're done here. See if I can got to find a goalie for this week.
There you go.
Is the well, I was going to pick up the next guy, but Tyler beat me to it, and well, he's been doing really well. So our next goaltender is Connor Ingram of the Arizona Coyotes. He is currently rostered 46% in Yahoo, and that is about to get a lot higher. 50% in Fantrax. They've got three games this week: Washington, Philadelphia, and Boston at home. He is the starting goaltender. Arizona has done away with the 50% split, and they are going hard with Connor Ingram. Through 14 appearances this season, Ingram has posted an impressive 10-3-1, 2.4 goals against average, and a .926 save percentage. Ingram has been particularly impressive here over his last four contests with four wins and one shutout, and an outwardly 1.23 GAA goals against average. Oh God, acronyms. At a .961 save percentage. I'm like, what is that?
There you go.
Having started six consecutive games for Arizona, it is safe to say that the 26-year-old has a stranglehold on the starting position, and at 46% rostered in Yahoo, the window to grab this player is closing quickly. And those four teams he beat were no slouches. They are all four previous Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, good teams.
Tampa, Vegas, St. Louis, and Colorado, I believe, are the four teams. That is amazing.
He's been a very welcome surprise for the Arizona Coyotes, I'm sure, who really wanted to take a step forward this year, right? They had a lot of young talent. We talked about it. They have more NHL-ready players or veteran players on the roster this year.
Yeah.
And they're getting good goaltending, phenomenal goaltending. So,
yeah, I don't think they expected it to come from Ingram, though.
For sure.
And he's beginning to show what Nashville started in when they drafted him. And then let him go because he didn't perform that well. It took him a year in Arizona, but he's he looks great.
Well, and there's lots of competition in the net in Nashville too, right? They had Taros, yeah. They had they drafted Askarov, so there was just players available, yeah, that they kind of thought, well, we can ship this guy out.
Yeah, but waivers though, that's the only bad thing. They lost him on waivers. They didn't get anything for him.
Yeah.
Next goalie on the list. One of Tyler's favorites, but unfortunately Tyler's not here, so we'll let Devin talk about him.
Sure. Well, you know what? Again, another player that I picked up myself this week, Elvis Merzlikins for the Columbus Blue Jackets, 38% rostered in Yahoo, 61% in Fantrax. Four games on the schedule this week: LA, the Islanders, St. Louis, and Florida. Again, another player who has got a stranglehold on the net. And his numbers aren't great. He's got a 3.04 goals against, a .911 save percentage. Nothing to really get too excited about, but behind a poor team like the Columbus Blue Jackets, that's actually fairly impressive. And
yeah,
over his last five starts, even better, he's posted a 3-2 record with a 2.42 goals against and a .937 save percentage. So four games this week in week nine, two of which take place on off nights. He really should be on most fantasy managers' radars if they're looking for some help in goal.
Most definitely. And apparently the Oilers are actively scouting him. That's what I've read anyway.
Yeah. So whether that helps or hinders his value, I mean, it's going to help if he goes to Edmonton and they win a bunch of games, but then he's definitely going to be in a tandem with Stuart Skinner, right? Like he's going to start fewer games. So from fantasy perspective, I don't know if it's really going to be a massive upgrade, maybe a few more wins, but he's going to have less starts. So.
Yeah. And that does it for the show this evening, unless you've got anyone else you want to add in here.
That's all I've got for now, Bruce. I'm going to go and maybe have a birthday nightcap before I go to sleep.
There you go. Oh, that's right. I forgot it is your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. I'm on the backside of 30 now. So
backside of 30. So you're 35 now?
36.
36?
36 today.
Well, you still have a long way to go to catch me. So
you got a few years on me. I'll never catch up, Bruce, unfortunately.
No, probably not. All right. That does it for the show tonight. You can catch us on Twitter or X at FHHHacks. and on Instagram at Fantasy Hockey Hacks. Don't forget to check out our live show, Hacks Hangout, every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Mountain Time on EdmontonSportsTalk.com and on YouTube at YouTube.com/HeavyHockey. Have a good evening, everybody.
Hey, Bruce, before we take off, sorry.
Yeah.
There'll be no Hacks Hangout this week with Edmonton Oilers post-game coverage on the network. So
Wednesday night, so
Wednesday night this week.
Sunday.
Yeah, we will not be there, but we'll be back the following week.
All right. There you have it.
All right. Take care.
Good night.